Let's go. Oh, let's go to Johan, who's calling us from the United Kingdom, Great Britain. Ah, goeiemorgen, my beste boer friend. Hoe gaan dit?
Bedankt jezelf.
And Cheryl will be with you shortly, and Paul in Texas. Thanks for waiting. Yes, Johan. So what's the latest from across the pond over there?
Well, nothing exciting except for our so-called socialist government, I think, trying to kickstart the economy by reducing the base rates. Our base rate is currently now only 2%, and unfortunately, it doesn't seem to be doing much at this stage.
Yeah. I know they're very happy about Obama being elected, those socialists over there. Especially that dopey comedian that begged Americans to vote for Obama. Remember that? I forget what his name was, the guy with the weird haircut.
Who, Elton John?
No.
the problem is there are so many of them with weird haircuts over here.
Elton John is the Barney Frank of Great Britain.
Yes. I was just listening to you guys with this whole issue with Obama and his birth certificate.
Yes.
I honestly don't think it's going to get anywhere, and I'll tell you why. Because I think at some stage they're going to start playing the race card and the political correctness.
Of course.
God.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. That's the cry of racism is the last refuge of a black scoundrel. And this guy is a scoundrel, and that's what they're going to apply to. I mean, that without a doubt. That's what they'll do.
And it's unfortunate, and, you know, I don't want to demoralize anybody in the States. And but, you know, if I take my experience from South Africa, I mean, the ANC has been in power there for more than 14 years, and they're still trying to blame the apartheid government for what's happening there today.
Yeah,
of
and
course.
If we look across the border to Rhodesia,
that's right.
I mean, Mugabe is still blaming colonialism for their failures today. And I mean, that's probably a few decades after he's been in power. So they have an amazing way to play the blame game as well.
You know, I was speaking to John about this article about Nigeria, where the witch doctor said I killed 110 children because she said that they were witches. And I said, you know, here you had people, you had the Boer folk, and they lived side by side with these people for 350 years. You don't think that they didn't know what they were dealing with? They didn't know about the culture? You know, and I'm not talking about when people went to the stadium and football felt, and they would see, you know, these Zulu dancers put on a show. But actually, like Dr. Johan Letts Pretorius, who speaks Zulu, you know, we've had on Boers who speak the languages of the different tribes. So Boer Volk actually knew who and what they were dealing with. But in the West, in the hatred for that society, for a nation of just 4.5 million who wanted to be left alone, who didn't want to bother anybody or be bothered, they gave this false front to people. They didn't understand it. And this is what's happening now as Africa's being engulfed, whether it's Nigeria, Congo. I mean, think of that in Rhodesia. They don't have clean drinking water anymore, Johan. What are you going to blame that on, colonialism? You know how that country, it's literally the jungle has reclaimed that country. And here in the West, you don't hear it. You hear calls, oh, he should be ousted. I want to see why a UN force is not sent to that country, drag this murdering son of a bitch out in chains and put him on trial and the world court, the way they put Milosevic on trial. And Milosevic was a pica compared to Mugabe. But to think that cholera, all of the diseases that were gone when whites governed that country are back. I mean, it's incredible that blacks have suffered more under the so-called majority rule than they ever did. You can't even compare it when it was white government. Same thing in South Africa, where they were flooding across the border. If apartheid was so bad, how come millions weren't fleeing the way they flee Cuba, the way they risk their lives to get out of communist countries? And we're seeing the evidence of how the left does not care what happens as long as the ideological goal is reached. That's all that counts.
Absolutely. Frank, you mentioned apartheid just now. I just have one question for all these liberals and Marxists. You know, if apartheid was such a bad regime and such an evil regime, how come the life expectancy of these people were almost equal to that of Europeans at the end of the apartheid regime? While as now, only 14 years later, I believe from a recent article that I've read that the life expectancy of people in South Africa, well, especially blacks, is lower than that of people in Iraq. How do you explain that?
Yeah, because they just turned it over to the same tribal big men. The Zulu and the Xhosa in the ANC hate each other. And it's not a culture that adapts to Western technology and civilization. And you can kid yourself. You can live in a fantasy. You can lie to yourself. I'll give you an example. Back in the 1960s, when Nigeria and Ghana and all these countries were becoming independent, you'd see, you know, depictions of ambassadors and diplomats from these countries, and either they'd be dressed in their native clean, bright, native dress or in Western suits. And as a stamp collector, I can tell you those countries were very hot issues to collect because people had the opportunity to get the first issue and say, well, I got number one. I have the first issue. And look at it today. That was all a lie. That was all a lie, a sham and a fraud that was pulled on people. And that's why, you know, I was in the hospital four times this year, and the last time on Tuesday, before I went under the knife, I made a promise that I will see my friends in South Africa, that I will walk the holy soil of the Transvaal where the four trekkers trekked. I will go to see a stand at Blood River, and I will go to the four trekker monument. I want to see that country and see the Boers over there. A lot of Boer friends have invited me. That I want to do because we don't know how long we're going to live. And you got to do something, you know, you got to do in life what you want. But what South Africa is the greatest tragedy of the 20th century. I want to ask you, Johan, do you know about the website South Africa Sucks?
I do, actually, Frank. I've only become a reader of them or a supporter of them, I suppose, during the last year. But I actually have personal contact with the guy who's actually the owner now, who took over from the original guy who started South Africa Sucks. They were originally hosted on Google, and I think they basically got fed up with being deleted or kicked off Google for about four or five times. And I have to say, you know, these guys, all they're basically doing is portray the real image of South Africa. They were never, advising people to take up arms or being racist or anything in that perspective. But I think it's another prime example of not being politically correct. And, of course, speaking out against the ANC government. And at some point, I don't know exactly how this happened, the details of the owner of the SAS blog leaked out into the public, and this guy has had death threats against him. He's had attacks at his house. He's had his dog poisoned. And in actual fact, during the last two days, Domain was also hacked again. They were basically all for about 2 days, and that was an attack from within South Africa. So it seems like it's a never-ending battle.
Yeah, well, you know, they don't want the truth to come out. They want to have this phony illusion of a rainbow nation. Over 3,000 Boers have been murdered on their plaza. Brutal and horrible crimes. And they don't want it. That's what happens when you have communists put in power. You know, we had on Mayor Helen Zille of Kapstadt, and, you know, she said, well, these people are communists in name only. I mean, come on. Well, they say, well, he's a Nazi in name only. You know, people don't want to face the reality, and especially a government like that, because they need the Western investment. And if there's, you know, people see what's become of that country, they're not going to invest. And so they want to keep this illusion that it's wonderful. The real trouble is going to erupt when Nelson Mandela dies. That's when all bets are off. That is how it's going to start.
Well, I actually fear for that as well, because I'm sure you're well known with the prophecies of Sinner van Rensburg.
Yes.
And he's prophesied that when this great leader of them dies, which everybody believes to be Mandela, that there would be the so-called Night of the Long Knives, where they would literally take up arms against all the whites and just start killing at the point, you know, and exterminating them. Well, if they haven't already started that process.
Wow.
Over the last few years. But I just wanted to latch on to something else that you've mentioned about these witch doctors and
yes,
these Mufti killings in Nigeria. Another article I came across from South Africa, apparently the latest attack by these people is that they will have four or five people approaching a woman or a child and actually show them a diagram of the body parts that they need and then basically tell them, well, which one would you prefer to give us. And there was an attack on a black woman in the week where they she was alive, started cutting off her breast, you know. I mean, how brutal can you get? I mean, it's mind-boggling.
It is, and it's never mentioned in the West, and the truth was kept for the people in the West. And, you know, people were propagandized over here. They were just completely in the dark. You know, it's very easy to say, oh, I'm against apartheid. You know, that's very easy. Like I've said in the movie Lethal Weapon, the evil Boer diplomat, he's the center of all evil in the world, made at a time when the Bolshevik experiment still ruled half of Europe and all the Russias and all of the different Asia Minor republics. Now, communism with Bolshevism was never a threat, but 4.5 million people at the end of the world who never harmed anybody and only wanted to live alone, they were the big threat. And people are stupid, because people are stupid, people are sheep, people are ignorant. And if they could just repeat it without thinking, and they can become part of the herd, then that's what they want. And that's why they were able to... Look, there were South African diplomats that came on New York talk radio programs. And it was one guy came on, he was a diplomat, and he tried to explain all the different tribal groups, try to explain about how the system was to give these tribal groups their own homeland, which not only kept them from killing each other, but gave them independence, gave them autonomy. I mean, nobody says anything about China and Tibet. You're going to even compare what China did to Tibet to the constellation of states? No, you couldn't. But the Boers didn't say, You can't have your culture. We're going like they did to Tibet. There wasn't genocide in South Africa. There wasn't a famine. There wasn't any of this crap, okay? And, you know, and I said to this, and I'm going back now to the middle 80s. I said, well, you know, I want to know, how could I help? You know, what kind of, you know, he treated it like a joke. Instead of him saying, look, this is our country. We've been here over 300 years. We're not moving our behinds out of here. If you don't like us, too goddamn bad. We'll find a way for us to survive no matter what we have to do. But they became too accommodating to the West. They didn't understand. Once you start accommodation to communists, it leads to your own genocide. That's what, I mean, look, the Israelis didn't give a crap. I mean, they're outnumbered. 200 million Arabs surround them. They didn't give up on that. South Africa had the atom bomb. They should have said, look, we'll bomb the Cape Coastal route if you don't leave us alone. I mean, they could have blackmailed the West the way North Korea or Iran wants to blackmail the West. They should have gone to the extreme to keep the survival of their fatherland.
I think you agree with you on that. I think part of the problem we as a Western civilization,
right,
and a Western culture have is that we regard ourselves as decent people.
Right.
And you don't expect that sort of behavior. So, you know, it is not socially accepted. So I think this is why political correctness and appeasement and human rights and all this nonsense is so powerful in the West, because we would rather bow down and seem to be doing what's socially acceptable than, you know, what will be good for our survival.
That's right. All right, we're going to move along. It's good to speak to you, Johan. Let me say, tut ziens, ekri teki baie geniet.
Thank you very much, guys, and all the best to you as well.
Kom, hi, Johan.
Kom asseblief hier.
I certainly will, guys.
Baie donkie.
Take
bye,
care.
Baie donkie.
Thanks for calling.
And
all the way from the United Kingdom.
That's why TRP. I can't get that off. Oh, there we go. TRP spans the globe, folks. Spans the globe. You won't hear this on Hannity. You won't hear this on Limbaugh. You won't hear this on. Could you imagine, John, him calling up O'Reilly? Could you imagine? Or, well, you know, Johan.
I think it was a joke.
Well, he go, well, you know, Johan, you know, you got crazies on both sides, and. You know, stupid. Well, what a schmuck! This O'Reilly, what a piece of garbage this guy is. It's unbelievable. What a piece of garbage. Let's go to Cheryl in New Jersey. She dialed 718-761-9996. If all lines are lit, just hang out and you'll get taken. And then we're gonna, you know, put on. We're not gonna take it. And then.